Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Many of us, including here on Team Olivet, are approaching the one-year anniversary of working from home. What started as temporary solutions to an emergent crisis have now become long-term lifestyle choices. Nowadays, clearing off your desk at the end of the day to make way for dinner is as normal as your daily commute used to be, because sometimes that desk is the dinner table. And while we may have found new daily routines and rhythms for our socially distanced work lives, we may not have ever truly set up our homes to make working from home physically comfortable. Maybe your shoulders have been tense or your lower back's been giving you trouble. Chances are it's not just the stress of the last year that's getting you. It's also probably your now not so new makeshift office. With me now to offer some guidance on making your home space work better and better for your body is Janine Gao. She's a trainer and an ergonomics expert who studied postural alignment, and she joins us now for an installment of our Ask an Expert series. Hi, Janine.
Hey, Allison. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being with us. Listeners, if you have any questions about how to make your home office setup work a little bit better for you or questions about alignment, give us a call at 646-435-7280. The number is 646-435-7280, or you can always tweet to us at @OlivetWNYC. All right, Janine, let's define some terms before we get started. Ergonomics, okay. What is it?
Okay, simply put, everybody's like, oh, it's so complicated. No, it's just the relationship between a person and their environment, especially like the equipment you use, for instance, like a laptop or a printer or, screen, like you're mm-hmm. watching TV. So that's all ergonomics really is. It's just the relationship of the person to their environment. Now, the field of ergonomics typically involves designing devices around either for the comfort of the user and or if they have like physical limitations. So that's the whole field. But ergonomics simply is just the relationship of the person to their environment.
And there's the rub. Our home environments aren't necessarily our workspace environments. So things may not be, aren't set up in the way that, you know, you go to your office or wherever you work and the desk is a certain height and the chair goes a certain way. You're dealing with dining room chairs and folding chairs and things like that. People have used...
Or being in a closet or under a table or something like that, you know, which is like... Is that a work environment? Sometimes it has to be.
Well, many people can't afford to go out and buy that fancy desk or that fancy chair. So let's talk about some of the more affordable ways that you can help improve your ergonomic situation, especially for, I mean, most of us, frankly, we're on computers. Where should we start?
Okay, so I just want to mention really briefly, and then we'll start right in on it, that if you don't buy a single other thing, like nothing, and the only thing you take away from this segment is actually your body position. So we'll come back to that. So where do we start? That's where I would start, body position, but we can come back to that. It starts with how your body is designed, right? So whenever we're working, we always have to remember that our body is our physical enhancer, right? Mm-hmm. It helps us do things, like our hands and our feet help us do things, but they also need some feedback to tell us that we're safe. So we're always thinking from the brain's perspective, do I feel safe? And safe means feet flat on the floor. And a lot of you listeners are going to say like, what? I can't do that. I can't possibly do that because of the way I'm sitting. But when your brain wants to understand if it's safe or not, it's feeling from the bottom of your feet. And by the way, for people or either older or not very stable in their stance, your two hands are like a second pair of feet. And that's why people reach for the walls or for support when their legs don't feel stable. Mm-hmm. That's why they do that, because they're putting in their second pair of feet. So actually having a proper workspace starts with sitting on a chair, and it can be like a used chair that you got from like next door neighbor's throwout. I mean, it doesn't have to cost any money, but it does have to support you and be stable and be high enough so that your feet can be flat on the floor. So people who are tall, like 6 feet or more, sometimes they sit in chairs that are too small. And what happens is their hips go below the level of their knee joints. And when that happens, you're going to slouch. Mm. So you have to make sure that your seat is high enough. So one of the first things, the first thing I do is I say, okay, what are you looking at? Let's say a PC, right? So it could be a laptop or it could be a screen. And so the first thing you want to do is, we can talk about body position later, but when you're sitting tall, and I'll talk about what sitting tall means. When you're sitting tall, so channel maybe like a Marine type style, but like a relaxed Marine, at ease, but still tall. So you want your eye to be in the middle of the screen or like the bottom third of the screen. Now, just to be at the middle of the screen is a challenge for most people, so I'd start there. But that usually means that you need to lift that screen up. Most people are looking down. And when they do that, and everybody that's listening, just go ahead and tilt your head forward. What happens is our bodies are always fighting the effect of gravity. Gravity wants to take your whole body and put it on the ground. And when you're sitting and doing work, you're trying to sit up straight. And particularly students, when like class is boring or something like that, there's a tendency to like become liquid in your body and you kind of slide down in your chair and slouch. And so you actually want to use your bones instead of your muscles to hold your body upright. So that's all about body position. But you do want that screen to be higher. So like every client that I've ever adapted their work environment to, we've always had to raise the screen. And immediately, within like the first days or weeks, people give me feedback. No more neck pain, no more headaches. I can breathe more easily. I speak more clearly and loudly. I have better concentration. I have better energy. It's all because when you tilt your head forward, like you're looking at a smartphone or a tablet or your laptop, you're actually cutting off your oxygen, you're cutting off your circulation up to your brain, which is kind of important. So it starts with the screen height. And so then after screen height, and so normally what I
want to dive in because I want to ask you a question because this is something that I deal with all the time. Keyboards.
Okay.
What should we be looking for in terms of my hand positioning on my keyboard and where my keyboard is?
Excellent question. So there's a cheaper solution and a more expensive solution. So generally speaking, I suggest people get a second keyboard, especially if they have a laptop, and then stick that laptop on some kind of like laptop prop, right? So that your screen height can be so that as you're sitting tall, you're looking at the middle of the screen. And then plug in another keyboard, or it can be Bluetooth, right? So it can be wireless keyboard. And then you want your hand and your forearm to be at the same level. You don't want your hand to be higher than your forearm. You don't want your hand to be lower than your forearm. Because at the wrist, again, you're cutting off circulation. And that can actually complicate things and go into things like repetitive stress injury, depending on how much mousing you're doing. Let's say you're a designer or something, or you're playing video games or something. But you want your wrist and your forearm to be at the same level, and you want your elbow to be about 90 degree angle. So there's lots of literature that you can read that tells you exactly how many inches. Forget about it, throw it away. Everybody's body is
different,
and you have to actually you have to create your work environment for your body, because some people are tall waisted or short waisted, long legs, short legs. You know, you just have to design for your specific body. And if a friend, colleague, family member is using your space, they're going to need to adjust it. And then if they're really nice, adjust it back.
My guest is Janine Gao. We're talking about work from home ergonomics. Let's take some calls. Robinson on line one is calling in. Hi, Robinson. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hi, Allison, and hi, Janine. Thank you for coming on, and I've been taking tips from what you've said already. So I work in a career where I, you know, I spend long hours, long trips, actually driving, you know, up to like 6 hours or more time, and then also doing
Yeah.
So as well as office work. So it's a lot of sitting in chairs, different heights, and trying to adjust it. And, you know, I've been listening in and, you know, trying to find more exercises that can help in, like, strengthening my back muscles. And I know it's supposed to be a thing to help with with your posture and helping you being able to sit without pain. But I still do have some issues, particularly with like my lower back and also with my neck as well. It's like, so I'm just hoping there might be any tips and either better ways of helping posture specifically there, or like exercises that I could do, anything like that.
Back. We're thinking about wanting to strengthen the back.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm actually a low back pain or back pain specialist. That's actually one of my subspecialty areas. So you're in good hands, Robinson. You ask an excellent question. Whatever position you're spending a lot of time, in your case, driving, then you want to make sure that your bones as opposed to your muscles are holding you up. People tend to have back pain because what they're doing is they're sitting on their tailbone, or what I call slouch, as opposed to, so everybody who's sitting, just go ahead and put your finger in your belly button. It's probably pointing up towards the ceiling because you're slouching and you feel the weight on your tailbone. That's in the back of your butt, right? So now what I want you to do is just tilt that belly button down towards the floor. Everybody that's sitting, just go ahead and do that. And if you're standing, just loosen your hips and knees and then do it too, okay? And then all you're doing is you're tilting the belly button down towards the floor. What that does, and you can feel that, Robinson, right? Are you doing this? Is if you tilt your belly button towards the floor, the first thing that happens is the weight goes off your tailbone or off the back of your butt. And it transfers to the front of your butt or pelvis. All of a sudden, what you feel is the bones actually change in relation to themselves. So if you want to think about your body as like a building, so the pelvis is actually the foundation or ground floor. Most people think their legs are the ground floor. No, the legs are basement level. Your pelvis is actually the ground floor. Your spine are all the upper floors that go all the way to the top floor, which is your head or brain. So when you're slouching, and by the way, P.S., all public seating, and most cars, too, especially ones that have bucket seats, they're all designed for you to sit back. So they actually on purpose put your back of your pelvis lower than your like knees. And so you're slouching all the time. Hmm. So, Robinson, what I've done is I used to have to drive my mom to medical appointments and, you know, get a car and go up to Rockland County. So what I did was I experimented. So what you have to do is pull your chair back like maybe a half an inch further back than you normally do when you're driving. And then actively tilt your belly button forward, downwards towards the ground. And when you do that, you're going to feel all of a sudden your whole spine straighten out, because that's what your bones do of your spine. They actually straighten out when you point the pelvis downwards. And then when you do that, all of a sudden your shoulder blades start to pull together, because that's going to support the top part, which is the most important, which is your brain and your neck and your brain. So when you're driving, you want to tilt the belly button down towards the floor. You want to pull your shoulder blades down and together. And depending on where you have your hands when you're driving, most people are like, you know, 10 and 2 or 9 and 3. I actually do much lower. I usually do like kind of, you know, 8 and 5. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of drive with my palms up. Because anytime your palms down, you're actually taking your body and, again, caving it in. So if your palms up when you're driving, you actually literally putting your elbows in close to the side of your body causes, again, your spine to be straight. It starts with the pelvis and then reinforce it with the elbows close to the side of your body and then, of course, looking out the windshield. So
I wanted to have and ask you one more. We've got another really good, so we got the belly button down, hands up. And he's driving. I want to make sure we get to some other, because we've got a lot of calls, Janine. Janine Gow is my guest.
Sorry.
Anonymous on Twitter says, yoga ball instead of desk chair, yay or nay?
If you know how to sit tall, so maybe if we have some time, I could just take like 2 minutes to go over what sit tall
absolutely
means.
Yeah.
Then I would say yay. So it is entirely possible to have a yoga ball and slouch. So I just want to dispel that myth. Oh, it's better. It is nice because it's bouncy, like movement, as opposed to static, like staying in place. But you have to know about the first things that we just talked about, tilting the pelvis down towards the floor and pulling your shoulder blades together. So if that's the case, then yay. If it's not the case, then nay.
Let's go to Jeffrey on line 2, calling in from Hamilton Heights. Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air with our ergonomics expert, Janine Gow.
Hi, Allison. Hi, Janine. Thank you both. I have had recurring knee pain, which is due to my IT band. And I thought that was from running, but I have not gone running for quite some time. And I started having it again. My doctor mentioned it may be because the way I'm sitting like shortens my leg span. Can you elaborate on that and tell me what I'm doing wrong?
Absolutely. So one of the things that people do is, you know, you're actually... Can we go into sit tall right now? We're just going to take like one quick minute.
Yeah,
but it's going to answer your question.
Do sit tall.
Sit tall, which is also known as in yoga and Pilates, they call it long spine. So first the pelvis. You want to tilt the belly button down towards the floor. And you're going to feel that weight shift from the back of your body to the front of your body. Next, going up from the ground. Feet flat on the floor. So that means equal weight on your heels and toes with your heels a bit wider than toes, which some people call slightly pigeon toe. But I want you to think about heels, because when you move your heels, it moves the entire leg. When you move your toes, only moves your lower leg. So heels a bit wider than toes. Thighs, and this answers your question. Thighs parallel, okay? Whenever your thighs are wide, like a lot of times our heels go in and our thighs go wide, it's pulling on the muscles that make up that iliotibial or IT band. And so that's a sign that the muscles on the outside of your hip are stronger and or shorter than the muscles on the inside of your hips. Here's a secret tip to just the listeners. The empowering set of muscles, they start from your inner arch of your feet, go up the inside of your lower leg, the inside of your upper leg, up through your thighs. That gets to your groin. Everybody knows that area. Where your leg meets your pelvis, there's a little valley. That's your groin, okay? There's a really, really important muscle to connect your lower body to your upper body, and that one actually gets turned on when you tilt that pelvis forward or belly button down towards the floor. So thighs parallel, and you can use like a roll of toilet paper. That's what my people, when they're traveling, that's how they make sure their thighs stay parallel and they have like a little feedback. So the roll of toilet paper is up as close to your groin as possible, not at your knees at all, because it's about the groin muscles. And then double check your heels. Heels are turned slightly out. Then you want your hips at about a 90 to 110 angle. So basically a right angle, a little bit more open. That means your seat has to be a height that your hips are slightly higher than your knees by like half an inch or so. Mm-hmm. Elbows, same thing, about a 90 to 100 degree angle. And the elbows should be close to the side of your rib cage. I say something like baby bird. So if you're flapping out like a baby bird, then you're now in a really weakened position. Because if you think about it, when you're about to fall, right, you're like unsteady, you're on slippery ice, what is the first thing you do? You shoot your arms out because you're trying to catch yourself. So you want your, and so that's like a, I'm guarding myself and I'm in a weak position. Mm-hmm. If your elbows are close to your body, that's a strong position. So if your elbows are more than 2 to 3 inches from your side, that means your keyboard is too narrow. So note to self. Especially for like smartphones and tablets, sometimes they have those little tiny keyboards. But if you're like a big, broad, shouldered person, then that keyboard might be too narrow and actually might be pushing your spine into like the letter C as opposed to the letter I stand tall. Okay, shoulder blades. So three more points, okay? Shoulder blades, pull them down and together. Think downward V-shape. So you feel your spine straighten and your chest pop out. And that, by the way, helps digestion, weight loss, breathing, speaking, everything, okay? Chin, last two, chin and head. Chin, slightly tuck back. Think turtle backing his head into a shell. And head, the top center of the head gently lifts towards the ceiling. So in like a dance, they say, think about a string pulling your head towards the ceiling. It's not a chin lift, which is the front of the chin pointing up towards the ceiling. It's the middle, very center of your skull at the very top going upward. So that's sitting tall. Does that help in terms of the ITB stuff?
I hope so. You know what? I have to tell you, somebody has already typed in, called in and said that she's been listening and adjusted her chair and already feels better. So there you go.
I know. Isn't that amazing? So you don't even have to spend any money if you just sit tall. You actually can enhance your experience. Now, if your workspace happens to be under a table or in a closet, literally because like you have some kind of vocal interview or something, you can still do this, like even under most tables. So let's say you're kneeling on the floor. You can still you know, either sit your butt on your heels or put like a yoga block or a play ball between your feet so your butt can rest on that instead if it's a little too hard on your knees. And but tilt that belly button down towards the floor, which automatically straightens out your spine. And if it's too high for underneath the table, then maybe go in a closet. But even in a closet, just okay, go ahead.
I do want to get to Brian on line three because I think he has a question that probably affects a lot of people. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Nice to talk with you. My wife spends a lot of time on the cell phone, and she's got a lot of neck pain, and I can't.
What pain? Neck pain?
Neck pain.
Is that neck pain, Lisa?
And, you know, excuse me?
Is it on the same side or the opposite side that she puts, like, does she put the phone to her ear or does she use a headset?
No, she's just looking at the screen. So she's looking down at the screen, and I heard you talking about, you know, looking at the screen. You know, she's sitting on the couch, which is already not great in terms of the...
Okay, dive in. And what can you do, Janine? How can you help Brian's wife with the phone?
Okay, two things. Thing number one, sit tall, which means sit on the front edge of the couch, tilt the belly button down towards the floor, lift the screen up to your eyes. If that feels too high or it's a long phone call, prop the screen on something so that when you're sitting tall, your eyes are in the middle of the screen. Does that help?
I think it's going to be great help. Let me ask you one more question, Janine, because we're going to run out of time.
Neck pain? Sorry, go ahead.
Janine, would you want to, because you've got so much good information, I want to get to one or two more things about our other senses. When we think about light, what should we be thinking about?
Ambient light, not direct task light. So there are a lot of studies that I don't think people really talk about it anymore. So they have all these like lamps that shine directly. You don't want glare. So if what's an ambient light? So I just use one of those like, you know, lights, like a little desk lamp that has a clamp, and I just stick it on a bookshelf, and then I shine it up towards the ceiling, and then it's giving me light diffuse light. So that, and also blue light, just so we talk about that really briefly, and I think the next guest will also talk about blue light, is disruptive to sleep. So that is the light that's coming off of any screen, whether it's a mobile screen or your laptop or your PC. So you want to wear glasses for that. Was there a specific question about light?
And then those were the two answers I was looking for. The last question for you I have is about kiddos. So many of our kids are learning, remote learning. What should we keep our eye out for, things we can do to help them?
Okay, sit tall. That's teach your kids to sit tall like we just talked about. That's like number one. Number two, your environment. You have actually six senses, sound, smell, sight, touch, taste, plus your mind's holistic impression, which is a safety thing. So quiet is important for your kids. There's something called safety earmuffs. Just do a search on the phrase safety earmuffs. These are like things that like they have at gun ranges or like if somebody's drilling into the ground, and you can actually plug in like a sound source so that they can hear their teacher, but not have all the noise of people moving around and eating right, sitting right next to them or whatever. So quiet is really important to the kids, but also sitting tall, because that's going to help attention and concentration. And the last thing I would say about kids is kids need to move. Actually, everybody needs to move. And so it would be great for the teachers who are listening to this, not that you are because I'm sure you're teaching, but any parents who know teachers, please tell them that movement is so important because it helps concentration. So like every class, at least once or twice during the class, just have all the kids like stand up and like do some jumping jacks, run around like the room once or twice, and then sit down again and then continue with the lesson. Movement helps concentration. So that pertains to us too, who tend to like, you know, 3-4 hours going down the rabbit hole of, you know, whatever kind of clickbait there is. But so movement is so important. And so is breathing, and so is humidity. So, like, spritz around your student, and if you can do certain scents, like if you have essential oils, rosemary plus peppermint actually helps memory, helps concentration, and helps the person recall it when it comes to test time if they spritz it again. There's some kind of tie that your brain does between the smell and the information that was collected during that smell, scent, aroma.
My guest has been ergonomic expert Janine Gao. Thanks to everybody who called in. And Janine, thanks for helping your fellow All of It listeners.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.